Welcome to the Marketing Intern Spotlight. A marketing intern is a listener who's spreading our message authentically. Hear their story, their passion, and their journey. Enjoy.
We're doing it live. Annie Vitale, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Oh, so excited. Finally having you on the show.
I know, finally.
Yes.
This is a long time coming for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Given that, just a little background for the marketing interns. Annie is one of the most highly sought marketing interns in Backpocket LLC.
She's a top tier marketing intern, if not the top.
I'm honored.
Top of the
list. I would say
top of the list.
Yeah. She designed this shirt. She designed our logo.
Mm-hmm.
She is the reason why we have some brand awareness. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
I guess we should just get... Would you like to kind of give our marketing interns a little bit of background about yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Please.
So where do I start?
Minnesotan gal, Stillwater.
Yep, grew up, born and raised in Minnesota. Went to a really small high school. Graduated with, I think, like 75 kids. From there, found my way over to St. Thomas.
And that's when we come into play.
Yep. Freshman mm-hmm. year, I think I met both of you guys.
Us knuckleheads being true knuckleheads. Us 17, 18-year-olds.
Gosh.
I don't think I looked any different than what I do now as like a freshman.
I wasn't able to grow a beard.
I was going to say, I don't think Declan's mustache was quite as... I don't want to even say impressive, but quite as there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe. You've, like, really not liked my mustache. I've had, like, maybe 10 people give me feedback, and you are the one who, like, most people are like, get that shit off your face. But you're more so just like, that looks so bad, you know?
It's kind of like the whole dumpy pants thing.
Mm, okay.
I don't know if we want to.
No, we do. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, we do need to explain dumpy pants also.
So, I have to give my sister most of the credit for this one.
Okay.
Marketing intern Maria Vitale, and she just one day was like, what is up with this epidemic with guys having dumpy pants? And it's basically like your pants just aren't fitting right. They're a little saggy in areas where they just shouldn't be saggy. And Declan was one of like the main culprits of the dumpy pant.
If there was a poster saying dumpy pants awareness, Declan, I'm afraid you might have been on that poster.
But we brought awareness to it a while ago on the podcast, like last year. And ever since then, Declan has been dump-free, basically.
Awareness goes a long way.
Yeah. But
that also makes me think, this is not your first time on the show.
This is my second time.
Your second time. I completely forgot the dance team one.
I was called in one time.
Yes.
For
Connor Johannes, Let's Talk Business.
Let's Talk Business.
When he was an engineer trying to be a business major. And then you had the whole dance team on, all 28 of the dance members.
A Guinness World Record for most dance team members in a podcast room.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
So that is a perfect opportunity. Annie was on the dance team for 4 years.
Yeah.
And three national championships.
Three national championships.
In jazz or hip-hop?
Three in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Okay,
yeah.
So coming in freshman year.
Yeah.
You wanted to be on the dance team. Was that like initially like something that motivated you?
So that was like my main draw to St. Thomas, basically. And like when I was deciding on colleges, I was deciding between St. Thomas and Madison. And I was like so stuck. I'm a super indecisive person. So I was kind of like, I'll try it for both dance teams and like, hopefully I'll make one and then I'll just go to that school. Like I kind of wanted the decision to be made for me. And then I ended up making both dance teams. Found out the same day that I made both teams.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to decide within like 24 hours what school I was going to. And being the indecisive person I was, that was really a challenge.
So what kind of led you this direction? St. Thomas versus the other one?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just kind of like pictured myself on both campuses and definitely just saw myself, you know, fitting in better at St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I just like more of like that community feel and aspect, I guess. So
right on.
Yeah. Anyways, chose St. Thomas. So yeah, that was a huge draw, was the dance team.
And that's right away. Like fall is dance season or is
we started in summer. So
okay.
July, right after the 4th of July, we start training.
Okay.
So yeah.
So you kind of had your niche already going in. You had a little community. Come the fall season, it's still kind of warming up, getting ready for January
is like our big push, like right after Christmas. That's when we get ready for nationals.
And what was that like as a freshman?
Well, so this is an interesting story. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you guys, but so you can only dance 16 people at nationals on stage, and we had 20 on our team. So you have to cut 4 people from each dance. And usually they try to make it so, like, someone dances, like, everyone gets to dance at least one dance, but I actually got cut from both dances freshman year. Yeah, and I don't know if I've ever, like, I didn't make a big deal of it, didn't really share it with anyone, because I was super, like, embarrassed about it.
Sure.
And now, like, looking back on it, it was, like, definitely, like, an experience, or, like, a time for me to grow, and was actually, like, a really cool experience for me, because I realized that, like, even though I wasn't out there dancing, like, I had to find a different way to add, like, value to the team. And I did that by, like, just, like, really, like, supporting everyone. Mm-hmm. And all the girls on the team, like, after Nationals were, like, we couldn't have done this without you. Like, we were out there, like, dancing for you because we knew how much you wanted to be out there. And we knew, like, how supportive you were of all of us throughout the season. And they're, like, it would have been so easy for you to be, like, super bitter and, you know, just, like, not want to participate.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when, like, I felt that way and I just didn't want to be there at all. But, you know, you kind of got to put on a face and just, like, be there for people. And I know they appreciated that, like, so much. And that's something that, like, I tried to, like, keep with me, like, through all 4 years on the team. And then just, like, being inspirational people and, like, you know, whatever way I could. And then I actually won the most inspirational team member this past season.
That
so,
led to your senior year achievement. Nice.
Which, like, I don't know if I would have been in that position if that hadn't happened to me. And so in a way, like, I'm kind of thankful for that, that that gave me, like, an opportunity mm-hmm. to be, like, an inspiration to people, you know. And
that's really cool. I mean, because when you get put in a situation like that, it's not the easiest, coming from, you're probably dancing all through high school and just kind of, like, being, like, one of the best on the team, if not the best.
Right.
And then you get to freshman year, and we experience the same thing on the football field.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, whoa, everyone's really good here. And then something happens where, like, you get cut from a dance, you're not starting on the Saturday games. And it's like, what do you do? Like, am I bad now? You don't have to look at it that way. You can look at it as the, like you just explained, that growth opportunity.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just, like, you can add value to whatever situation you're in, wherever you are, whatever circumstances you have, like, you can still find a way to add value and really inspire other people, I think, no matter where you're at.
Right on.
Love where you're taking it.
Yeah.
And one thing that really sticks out to me right away is, like, the selflessness that you have to really make the most of that situation.
Right.
Because, like Andrew said, we were in the same sort of position, and it's all about how you respond, not necessarily what you're given to start mm-hmm. with. And it's cool to see that you grew, you know, from year one to year four. It all came back around full circle. Now you're sitting in this position where, like, you opt for the marketing interns, and you might not say this because, you know, you're super humble, but, like, Annie's a genius. She had a 4.0 GPA in college.
No, it wasn't a 4.0.
She had a 4.
I got an A-.
Okay. One A-.
One A-.
Okay, so that just...
But it was in the coolest class I took, and so...
Okay.
Again, I mean...
3.8 or whatever. Yeah. We'll round up to 4.
3.98.
Yeah, that was it.
Right on.
But anyways,
mm-hmm.
you crushed it. And now you're sitting here after day one of your job, and you're in grad school at St. Thomas. So tell us a little bit about, like, everything that you learned from, like, dance and St. Thomas, because you obviously did great there. How are you turning that into success and stuff that you're doing now?
Yeah, well, it's been kind of a long journey because I graduated, and I think I was so focused on graduating. And, like, I just naturally just hold myself to really high standards. So, like, getting those grades and just focusing so much on graduation that, like, I didn't know at all what I wanted to do after I graduated. Wow. And so graduation came around, and afterwards, like, all my, like, lots of my friends are out there, you know, with their real world jobs, making tons of money. And
with their podcasts, just getting on all kinds of guests.
But I kind of was, like, really frustrated with myself for a while because I'm like, all right, like, you accomplished so much during your, like, collegiate career, and now here I am just sitting there, like, what do I do with this? Like, mm-hmm. what do I do with all this knowledge that I learned and all this hard work I put in? And I had absolutely no idea. And I majored in art history, for those of you who don't know, which is, like, so random, but I've just always loved art and had, like, a really good experience with it. And so I knew I wanted to pursue something with that, but it was really hard for me to find my niche and exactly what I wanted to do. So towards the end of summer, I actually sat down with one of my professors she's the head of the art history department. She was my advisor. Her name's Victoria Young. She actually listens to the podcast.
Nice.
And, yeah.
We've been getting to get her on.
Yeah. She's awesome. But anyway, so I kind of sent her an email and was like, I'm just still so lost. I don't know what I want to do. Can I come talk to you? So I went and I talked to her and kind of like got all my thoughts aligned. And towards the end, I was like, did you know that you always wanted to teach? Did you know you always wanted to be a professor? And she was like, yeah, I think like deep down, like I always knew. And I was like, I feel like I might want to do that someday. And like, I have this passion for art, but I also have this passion for helping people and kind of helping them find their value. And I looked back on all the people who are really influential to me in my life, and they were, most of them were my teachers, and like my art and my art history teachers, both in high school and in college. So, and also my mom, who's a teacher, and some of like my dance teachers. And I was like, well, all these people have had such like a profound impact on me. I want to provide that for other people too. So I was like, why don't I go into like art education and be like a teacher someday, or work in like museum programming with educational programs, helping students and stuff like that. So I was talking to Victoria and I was like, yeah, well, I probably should go get my master's if I'm like thinking of teaching eventually. And I'm like, I don't know when I want to go back. And she's like, you should just go back now. And I was like, okay, I'll apply for spring semester. And she's like, no, apply for fall. And that wasn't a, like, I think I, there was like 4 days until classes started.
Whoa.
And I was like, what? And she's like, we'll make it happen. Apply tonight. We'll get everything set up. So I applied, got accepted, and 4 days later, there I was
in grad school.
In grad school.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was not the path I expected, but I think it's a really good fit for me right now. I really like learning.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved learning. I love school. And like I said, like I've had a really good, like really good relationships with my teachers, and I know like a lot of people haven't had that experience. So I want to be able to provide that for other people
going forward.
So then,
yeah,
and then I applied for a job at the Walker. It's a contemporary art museum up here in Uptown,
mm-hmm.
and got that job. It's part time, which is great for me going to school, because
and that job entails teaching as well.
Yes, it does. So I kind of ended up with all this like teaching stuff. I'm also a dance teacher.
Yeah.
And I've always like liked kids, but never like considered myself like a kids person, you know.
Sure.
But I started teaching dance and I absolutely love it. Like I love working with the kids.
And it keeps you involved with something that you've been doing your whole life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, how old are the kids, by the way?
I teach kids ages 3 through 18.
Oh wow.
So I have
all the kids.
Such a variety.
Mm, that's so
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. I love it.
That's awesome.
I saw a video the other day of you, and I think it was neither near Halloween. I can't remember if they were dressed up or not, but it was just a madhouse in there. And
oh
you have to, like, reel them in. Because you're coaching group dance for three-year-olds. I mean, I don't know how that you can even do that in any, like, being a teacher in general with three-year-olds. That's just utter mayhem.
I didn't even know three-year-olds could dance, to be honest with you. Like, if you were asked me, like, what age do people start dancing?
Yeah, when did you start dancing?
Yeah.
I was probably around three.
That's crazy.
I
think
Faith was, too, yeah.
And they're able to, like, actually organize something, or is it kind of just like a free-for-all?
It's like a constructed free-for-all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that all being said, you're off to a great start post-college, now getting back into college, graduate.
Exactly.
That's good stuff. Let's get into the back pocket, little core concepts here. You know the drill at this point. Annie Vitale, what is your average quality?
Yeah. So I've been thinking about this one. Knew this one was coming. I think I have a lot of average qualities, but one of my most average qualities is portion control. When it comes to food. Here's my deal. So my family calls me the picker because I go and I like, there'll be like a whole pan of like, I don't know, brownies or something. Like I have the biggest sweet tooth. And I'll go and I'll like cut one like in fourths and I'll take like the fourth and like, oh, I'll just have a little bite. Then I go back and I have the other fourth and then I have the half and then I have a whole nother one. And then before you know it, it's just like half the pan is gone and they're like, where did it go?
That's phenomenal.
And like, that was me. That's how I got my nickname, Big Ann. From my cousins.
Yep.
We brought it back.
It's the Carboni's effect.
Yeah.
It's cutting a pizza into small slices and you don't realize how much you can eat.
Exactly.
And it's just too delicious to stop. So you have a little bit and you're like, oh, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was only just a little bit. I can have a little bit more. Oh, it's too funny.
I'm the picker in a different sense where I just did this yesterday. I went to Cub Food. Shout out to Cub Food. Great place. And there are just so many deals flying around that probably aren't that great, you know? I go into the frozen pizzas aisle, and it's like, what? Jack's Pizza, 4 for $10? And I'm just like, well, might as well get 4 pizzas, you know?
Yeah.
I'll eat 4 pizzas in the next year. Then I'll go
in
over
the next week.
In the next week, you know, whatever. Test me. I go into the soup aisle. Chunky soup, 4 for $6. You kidding me? Absolutely.
It's soup season.
It's soup season. It's soup. Like 100%. So I, of course, hit that up. So I'm just always like hoarding. I bought the whole store by the time I was done for like $78. But it's like I'm going to be eating like very specifically for like the next 2 weeks.
Just
so.
Picking and grabbing, finding those little different meals.
Absolutely. But I love that. The picker. Any so is our like potluck dinners super hard for you?
Yeah. Just honestly.
A lot of variety.
I can't stop myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's
the Italian in us.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, whenever I was growing up, there's just, like, ample food everywhere. And so it's like, how could you not just, like, keep eating? You know, my parents were like, oh, make sure your plate is clean, you know? So,
yes, clean plate club.
Yeah.
Being Italian, it all revolves into that. Now she's the picker.
Now I'm the picker.
I like, here's a really cool question. And I feel like a lot of art history majors or maybe even people that are kind of on the outside looking in, like, how does an art history major get a job, you know? Because I saw this question I think on Homie where someone asked like, how does an art history or how does a history major get a job? And I think that's the perfect question for you. I mean, you were in the super like limbo area, but now you've like really defined yourself, so could you expand on that a little bit?
Well, art history is a very like interdisciplinary field, which I think people don't really understand. They're like, why do you like art history so much? And I'm like, it combines so many different aspects of life, I guess, in general. And art just in general tells you so much about people and about cultures and societies, which is really cool. But the way it's like the class and stuff are structured is like, you know, there's a theme for the class, but you can kind of pick your own like your own subject, you know, and kind of add how you want to analyze things. So you can look at it from like an economic approach or like a post-colonial approach, like looking at how like people colonize, you know, like you can take all these different aspects and add it together, I guess, to analyze art. So you can really take it in a lot of different ways, I feel like, which is interesting. So, you know, some people go into like art restoration, which you actually need like a lot of like chemistry and science for working on like restoring artworks. You have to be like very knowledgeable about what type of like things you can use to clean certain artworks. You're working with these materials that are like hundreds and thousands of years old and you can't destroy them, so you have to have like knowledge of all these like chemical like reactions and stuff like that. So that's then like a field where you would use like science and art together. You can go, what else can you do? You can work in a museum. You can do like public outreach in a museum, which is working more with people. So if you were someone who likes like communications, you could do something with that. And then there's like opportunities to obviously like do research and stuff too. So as for how you get a job, you just kind of have to figure out what you want and I guess make connections in that field because, I don't know. It's kind of, it depends. It's different for everyone. There isn't really one set way to do it. I feel like.
One of the coolest things I think about art history is the almost forced but like absorption of culture. Like you have to learn about so many cultures to learn about art. So it's like you have to travel. You have to like literally open your eyes to everything and see how like back in the 1800s when that was what kind of art and pre like BC art, like you are learning about everything. And I mean, that's history in general, but art has its own little twist on it. I think that's a really cool aspect.
Especially like architecture too. That's what I'm really interested in studying because everyone, whether you like it or not, you interact with and encounter architecture every single day. And it says so much about a society. Like when you look at like our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., that was all designed in this neoclassical style. So when everyone came over here and we were building this new capital to represent our nation, they didn't build it in the styles of their countries they were coming from. They chose to build it in the style of like Greek and Roman empires, which are some of the most powerful empires in the world. Mm. So as a culture, we wanted to reflect that powerful empire. And that was like our statement. Like, we want to be like those empires. So we're going to build architecture that looks like theirs. You know, so that just says so much about the kind of nation.
The mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just by looking at buildings. So like, it's so hard for me to like look at buildings and not be like, what is trying to be said here, you know? Mm. So yeah, it's super cool though. There's so much you can learn and so much, yeah.
And mm-hmm. what it really comes down to is like, I think what fascinates me is the story behind all of it. Like mm-hmm. what really got me there was like, yeah, we came over here and we built something that was new, right? And yeah, we could definitely unpack that and understand, but it's so cool that it's not only just the surface of Christopher Columbus sailing the ocean blue, it's in the structures, it's in the people, it's in the territories that we took over and started, you know, all yeah. these, it's in everything, which is so cool. Another cool just side architecture note is this house, mm-hmm. the house right next to us and the house kitty corner from us was all one house designed by a famous architect.
Was it really?
In Uptown.
It was all connected?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This was really? His, I didn't know that. This was his house. And then that's they ended crazy. Up splitting them up.
Yeah.
And then renovating them each one individually.
Right. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And that's something cool too. It's like architecture outlasts people. Yeah. So like that's one way like societies leave their mark is through their buildings.
Mm-hmm. And one of our roommates, Matt Christensen's dad, did like a tour and was like... of a building that kind of was like built the same way of us, of this building, of our house, and was able to tell that story that you're exactly like talking about through the structure. And you could tell like people, there were servants here that lived in the house by mm-hmm. the way the door frames and doors have been removed and the way the kitchen is set up next to the kitchen or the dining room. And every little piece, like everything's like full circle in the sense of that architecture told the story of why it was built in this certain formation. And now we're living in that today. It was like, this is like not the purpose of what it was supposed to be is, but we right. moved it into our own kind of unique way.
Yeah.
I have another question. So Andrew mentioned like you did a ton of traveling, which you've been to Italy. Where else have you been, by the way?
I've only been to Italy. I went twice. Okay. I went once in high school. That's when I like started to, really, really be interested in art and art history. Cause I came back and I just couldn't look at anything the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like my eyes were just open to like the way you interact with like the built environment in like such a different way that I was like, whoa, I want to learn way more about this. But then, yeah, I went back for this past spring to research a church that I was doing my senior thesis on.
Did you apply for something like that? Or did your teacher like, this is a great thesis, we have a program that we can get you out there kind of thing?
So I like... presented my thesis to my advisor and she was like, well, if you'd like to go there and see the church, there's a process to apply for a grant where you would the school would fund you to fly out there and see the church in person, which that's kind of the only way you can fully get a read on a piece of architecture, I feel like, is if you're actually in it participating.
You're immersed with it.
Yeah, you're fully immersed in it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I applied for a grant and the university gave it to me, which was awesome. Super thankful for that. Shout out St. Thomas. And so, yeah, I was able to fly over there. And
what was that like? So you're a week there, and mm-hmm. it's a little bit of vacation, obviously, because you're in a new country and mm-hmm. you have a little free time. But also you're there kind of as like a professional. And you're doing like real research, but in kind of a student way. What was that like?
Well, it was really, really cool because my family is Italian. And I actually got to go out there with my mom. School didn't pay for her, but so we spent 3 days in Florence, which was more just like for fun.
Sure.
And then went to Venice for 3 or 4 more days. Venice was where the church I was studying was.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were in Venice, I spent a ton of time on site there. I attended mass at the church, and then there was an organ service where they were, you know, like playing music. Attended that too, and then just spent a ton of time walking around, noticing like every single little detail. And I wanted to make sure I was super thorough and really getting the most out of this because the university paid for me to go over there.
Right.
And they're expecting me like when I come back to provide something meaningful for them. So it was kind of a little bit of pressure because I wanted to obviously show them that it was worth their time and money to send me over there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a really awesome experience, and I loved being back there.
I just think travel in general is so important. And we talked about this on the Stationary Astronaut podcast a little bit, of just how it gives you such a different perspective on where you are and your kind of day-to-day activities.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything particular, like when you went over there for this grant, for this project, was there anything particular that you're like, wow, that I can never look at anything the same?
Gosh, I don't know.
Or maybe, sorry to take your question away from you, but it was kind of like maybe kind of led you to figuring out the summer and then grad school. Was there something that was like, oh,
inspiration?
Yeah, something that kind of stood with you at once you got back.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I guess it just like really just continued to like ignite my passion for art,
reaffirmed
and
it.
Mm-hmm. Especially architecture. I love studying it. I think it's amazing. But yeah, I think the writing process for art history papers, the research papers, it's very tedious, very long, tons of reading, tons of research. Like you're always finding new sources, and then you're looking through sources to find something, then you don't end up finding what you're looking for. So it can be very like cumbersome, very tedious. So going over there was really refreshing to have like a new outlook on it. And it was kind of like, okay, this is why you're doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason for it. It's mm-hmm. not the books. It's more than that. So
right on.
Yeah.
So when you're in those situations, because you're in grad school and you're obviously back in the art history routine, mm-hmm. what's in your back pocket in the sense of when you have to get a paper done and it's midnight and it's due at 8 a.m. or in those situations, what kind of mental attribute do you rely on to help you get it done?
All right, so I have two. Is that okay?
That's great.
I have one that's kind of funny.
Let's
Is that
do
okay?
It. Yes.
Okay. So I took Latin for 7 years, and I have a good knowledge of like Latin root words, and it comes in super handy with art history.
Hmm.
There's words like, for example, perambulate, and it comes from the Latin word per, which is through, and then ambulare, which is to walk, so to walk through. And when you get into a church and there's this thing called an ambulatory, and I'm like, okay, what's an ambulatory? You know, I'm reading through these things, and I'm like, okay, well, that kind of like comes from the English word perambulate, which means to walk through, and an ambulatory is the area around a church that you walk, and a lot of times you say the different like stations of the cross,
mm-hmm.
But you walk around that area on the outside. So I'm like, oh, perambulate, like you walk through this ambulatory. So, you know, like stuff like that comes in like super handy. Or churches are a lot of times designed in this cruciform structure, and you're like, okay, that's kind of like the Latin word crux, which means cross, and the church is in the shape of a cross, like if you're looking at it from the top. So you're like, oh, that's really cool, like it makes sense, you know. So that's something that like I can go through and like analyze that stuff and not have to constantly be going into like dictionary.com and be like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
So
like your Latin is always in your back pocket.
It's in my back pocket, and yes. It comes in handy in the most random like places, which
That's
is
so
super
cool.
Cool.
That's so cool.
Also something on a little more serious note, I guess. Ooh. I would just always look around, or not look around, but just think of how grateful I am to be where I am, you know, even in the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that you grow so much from struggles. Like some of the people that I know that are like the most wise, most knowledgeable are the people who have like been through the most. So I consider it, there's like a Bible verse that's like, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of any kind, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance.
Mm.
It's like James 1:3 or something. But
we won't hold you to the fire on that.
Something like that. But just knowing that when it says like consider it pure joy to be facing trials, and I'm like, okay, like how can you be joyful when like facing trials? And just realizing like how grateful you are to be where you are today. For me, like when I was struggling to figure out what I wanted to do, I'm just like, okay, well, I'm so grateful. Like I have had this great education. I have all these like really supportive people around me. I'm facing like a struggle, but I know I'm not always going to be in the struggle, and I know that I can use this later down the road when maybe someone else is struggling, and I can tell them about my experience and how I overcame it and use it to like help someone else too. So I think that's kind of a way just to like be grateful and kind of find joy in the struggle if you can, you know?
Yeah. Those are two, I love this question because it brings out like kind of your mindset and also like some really cool tidbit about yourself that you don't hear about someone all the time.
And how similar it is to like our own mindset of the back pocket. I mean, we just talked about it last week or earlier this week, and the fact that like don't take anything for granted, and the mindset of just having the joy in the trials. Like that's a great way to put it. Mm-hmm. We didn't put it that way, but that's a great way to verbalize it. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Well said. And now another question that kind of floats right similar to what the back pocket's about. What does it mean to you to be a marketing intern?
Yeah. Well, for me, it means that I can support you guys doing what you love, which is so awesome. You guys like pour your heart and soul into this. I think that's so cool. And just being your friend, watching you guys grow this over the past, what, like year, 2 years?
Yeah.
Has been so cool. I remember like we'd all just be hanging out over at Andy's house and they're like, okay, we're gonna go record a podcast. We're all kind of like, what are you doing? Okay, cool. Like, what is this? This is when it was in like the really beginning stages. But now seeing you guys where you're taking this is like so awesome, and just being able to like support you guys in that like makes me so happy, because I know like you guys are so supportive of me, and I think it's something so cool about our friend group is everyone's so supportive of each other and really cares about one another, which like you don't always find. Like,
sure.
My sister and I always say, like, you guys are, like, the brothers we never had, you know? And just, like, that's what you do for, like, your family. You support them. So that's what it means for me, you know, to appreciate help you guys pursue your passion.
Hair standing up for that. Thank you.
Good stuff. Let's also mention that. I interrupted you. Go for it.
I was going to say, like, you offered to us to do the logo. Like, you were doing a school project.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think it'd be cool if I could help you guys and do this school project. I mean, right away, Declan and I were like, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you thinking of us in that time is just a great instance of how our friend group supports each other.
Right.
Like when there's something that we can do to bring value to another person, we'll be the first one to say, hey, I'd love to help you with something because I have to do something and I want to do it for you.
Or like I have these skills, like I use them to help you somehow, you know? Yeah.
Which was great too. Awesome. And even on top of that, it's like, and he's like, yeah, I'd love to help you guys out. And we're like, okay, cool, cool. And then like, maybe 2 weeks later you come back with like, all right, I got a couple ideas for the logo down. And you're like, okay. And you pull up your sheet of like on Photoshop and there were 9 different versions of the logo.
Yeah.
And Andrew and I had never had like seen the logo we made was, I mean, the original logo, don't get me wrong, it's phenomenal. But we were looking at this spreadsheet and we're like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome.
Yeah, you'd scroll through the next one, each one, and be like, yes, that's the, and then you get to the next one, like, wait, I don't have it now. And then I think it probably took us a good 4 weeks after that to like actually like narrow it down, because we were just like, we loved everything and we're like, and we don't know what to do. But thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, is it weird to like, or is it weird and is it awesome to see something that you created just kind of plastered everywhere?
It's super cool. I love it. I kind of like forget sometimes, but when we came here on for the back pocket party this weekend, I just walked into your backyard and I just saw it everywhere. I'm like, that's so cool. And then some of the band members were in the shirts too, and I'm like, that is just so awesome. Like, I'm something that I'm so happy to be a part of and happy to support. So
do you put it on your resume?
No, I haven't, but I do have a website with like my
your portfolio.
And we're portfolio in the portfolio. And you're in there. Yep.
Sweet. All right. Final question, Ann. Mm-hmm. What did you learn today from the moment you woke up to having this conversation now?
Oh, gosh. This is what I didn't really think about.
Good.
Well, Faith and I were at the mall today.
Okay.
Just, you know, walking around, you know, just kind of walking and talking. Really no reason to be at the mall at all.
Is this Mall of America?
Oh, yeah.
That's the mall.
Okay. Yeah. That is, the mall.
Yeah, I suppose, like, I'm just from here, so when you say the mall, it's the
It took
mall
me a while to pick up on that, but I got it now.
Just like the U is Minnesota. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, it's not Miami. Okay.
Okay, yep.
But anyways, let's continue.
Yeah, but we were at the mall, and she was saying how one of our old dance teachers told her this piece of advice one time, and it was, you know, wherever you're at, just start building your brand. I thought that was kind of cool to think of. Like in this day and age, like you kind of are your own brand. You know, a lot of people have their own logos and their own websites and their own mottos and stuff. And just kind of thinking, you know, like wherever you're at, just start somewhere, start building. So I thought that was kind of cool, you know?
Yes.
You can do something wherever you're at. You can start now, but you got to start somewhere. So start building.
And what better place to build that brand on the back pocket, and more specifically the marketing intern spotlight, which is one of the coolest, like, eye-opening thing about this that we didn't realize 16 marketing interns ago was everyone's got their own little brand. Everyone's got their own little audience. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you just started or if you don't even know what you want to talk about. Like, your mom, your dad, your friends, your high school friends, like friends of their friends, they'll all listen. And it's crazy, and we see it all the time. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I hope everyone listened to this one, because it was phenomenal.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Anne. We really do appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Cheers.
That's a wrap.